Untitled, Elder Milton R. Hunter, Milton R. Hunter, Conference Report, April 1946, pages 141-146. My dear brethren and sisters, it is indeed an inspiration to look into the faces of this vast audience of Latter-day Saints who have assembled here to worship God. I do humbly pray that the Spirit of our Heavenly Father will be with me in what I say this morning. I ask also for an interest in your faith and prayers. Expressions of gratitude. I wish to express, on this occasion, my gratitude to our Heavenly Father for the privilege I have of being a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I know that all the blessings I have received and do receive, and all that is good that comes to you and me, comes from our Heavenly Father. I do appreciate these things. I am especially grateful for the philosophy of life given to us by the Gospel with its assurance of immortality, of the perpetuation of our family ties, and all the things which are near and dear to us as Latter-day Saints which we have received through the inspiration and revelation from God, through Joseph Smith and other prophets. I am grateful for the privilege I have of serving in this church and do pray to God in humility that I will have strength to do my share in this great and mighty cause with which you and I have affiliated ourselves. Last night in our priesthood meeting, President S. Dilworth Young gave an excellent talk on missionary work, and President George Albert Smith confirmed the fine things that were said. Since it is the duty of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints to preach the gospel to all the world, I desire this morning to say a few words on the great and important theme of missionary work. Importance of missionary work. God has informed us through His holy prophets that one of the most important assignments given to members of the Church of Jesus Christ is that of preaching the gospel. In fact, Joseph Smith declared that the greatest and most important duty is to preach the gospel. Throughout history, the most outstanding men who have lived, such as Adam, Enoch, Nephi, Alma, Paul, and greatest of all Jesus Christ, were missionaries. It was in that work that each of them contributed so greatly in altering the history of the world. We are told that the work and the glory of God the Eternal Father and His only begotten Son is to bring to pass the immortality and eternal life of man. Certainly that is missionary work. It is not surprising, therefore, to have the prophets inform us that to preach the gospel is our most important duty. The final injunction that the Son of God gave to His apostles before His ascension was, "Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Yet the Savior fully understood that that would not be the last time before His second coming that it would become necessary for His missionaries to receive a divine commission from on high and be sent forth to teach the plan of salvation to the world. He definitely pointed out to His apostles that after they had preached the gospel, a great apostasy from the divine plan would take place, which would necessitate a restoration of the holy priesthood and of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For an understanding of Jesus' description of the events which should take place before His second coming, in the course of these instructions, the Son of Man pointed out to His apostles that as one of the final events preceding His advent, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Apostasy from the truth. Students of history know that during the Middle Ages Christianity was adulterated with many false pagan beliefs and practices, fulfilling the words of Isaiah wherein he had said, "The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant." It became necessary, therefore, for God to withdraw the holy priesthood from the Christian Church. The Protestant Reformation, which resulted in the establishment of numerous Christian denominations, approximately 250 of them existing in America today, bears unimpeachable evidence to the fact that a great apostasy did occur as the Master and the prophets of old had predicted it would. Martin Luther, John Calvin, the Wesley brothers, and the other protesters against the erroneous doctrines which had corrupted Catholicism did not claim divine restoration of the holy priesthood nor of the principles and ordinances of the gospel. The restoration of the gospel. John the Revelator, however, had looked down through the stream of time and had beheld that a divine restoration from the heavens would take place. He declared what he had seen in vision as follows, "And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, and kindred, and tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God, and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come, and worship Him that made heaven, and earth, and the sea, and the fountains of waters." This prediction was fulfilled on September 21 and 22, 1823, when the angel Moroni appeared to the prophet Joseph Smith and told him of a sacred record buried in a hill not far from the boy's home. This record, the angel said, contained the everlasting gospel as understood and practiced by the ancient inhabitants of America, the Nephites. In due time Joseph received from the angel this holy scripture, and acting under the power and inspiration of God, he translated and published its contents in a volume known as the Book of Mormon. No event in history fulfills John's prophecy as did the coming forth of that sacred book. Yet, in addition to this heavenly manifestation, other angels came from the presence of God to restore to earth the particular gospel keys and blessings which they had held in their dispensations. For example, John the Baptist, and Peter, James, and John, bestowed upon the heads of Joseph Smith and Oliver Cowdery the holy priesthood without which neither missionary work nor the ordinances of the gospel could be officially performed. And finally on April 3, 1836, Moses appeared to Joseph and Oliver in the Kirtland Temple and gave to them the keys of the gathering of Israel from the four parts of the earth, and the leading of the 10 tribes from the land of the north, missionaries divinely appointed. Thus every missionary that is called by the first presidency of the Church of Jesus Christ and set apart by one duly authorized goes into the mission field to speak and act in the name of the God of Israel, and the actions performed are as valid as if Jesus Christ did the missionary work personally. Furthermore, these missionaries are the only servants of God in the entire world who have been divinely appointed, called, chosen, and set apart by the powers of heaven to preach the gospel to the world. In due course of time after the church was organized, the Lord placed upon the 12 apostles the responsibility of opening the doors of the gospel to all the nations of the earth, and the 70 were commissioned to build up the church under the direction of the apostles. Purify your hearts before me, and then go ye into all the world, and preach my gospel unto every creature who has not received it, and he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not, and is not baptized, shall be damned. Missionary work under hardships. History records no human experiences filled with greater love and acts of unselfish sacrifice than those connected with the story of the missionary work of the Latter-day Saint Elders. During the past 100 years, thousands and thousands of them have left their homes when called and have traveled over land and sea, paying their own expenses, to preach the restored gospel of Jesus Christ. Hunger and fatigue, and on certain occasions, even imprisonment and martyrdom have been experienced. Yet each Latter-day Saint missionary declares that his services while preaching the gospel gave him the happiest experiences of his entire life. Every time a crisis has arisen in the church, it has been met with a renewed and increased missionary campaign. For example, in 1837, the panic struck church members just as it did the rest of the inhabitants of America. Many members apostatized. Conditions were critical. The Lord, through the prophet Joseph, however, met the situation by sending Heber C. Kimball and other elders to England to open a field where hundreds of souls were anxiously waiting to receive the gospel. Again, after the saints had been driven from their homes in Illinois and had established themselves over 1,000 miles west in the heart of the Utah desert, Brigham Young inaugurated a worldwide missionary campaign. During this period, thousands of people were headed westward toward the gold fields of California, but the elders of Israel turned their backs upon gold and their hearts toward winning souls for the kingdom of God. Today we have reached another vital point in the Savior's missionary program. The guns have ceased firing, and thousands of human hearts are yearning for peace, for rest, for truth, and for righteousness. Surely the field is white, ready for harvest, and God is going to give us another chance to fulfill His commandment of taking the gospel to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people preparatory to the coming of the Son of Man to reign on the earth for 1,000 years. Proclaiming the gospel, a responsibility for all Latter-day Saints. Brethren and sisters, it is our responsibility to preach the gospel to the world. God has given us the priesthood and the true gospel of Jesus Christ, and He will hold us responsible to teach the plan of salvation to all other peoples. Parents, send your children on missions. Instill in their hearts in their youth a desire to proclaim to the world the eternal principles of truth. If you love your children and desire to do good things for them, you could make no greater investment than to send them on missions. While they are bringing souls unto God, they will, as a natural result of their missionary services, increase their love, understanding, and testimony of the gospel. Therefore, by sending them on missions you are saving the souls of your children while they are working to save the souls of other people, demonstrating the Savior's statement that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Young men and young women, live clean lives, study the principles of the gospel, and carefully prepare yourselves to go on mission so that God can use you in performing His great work. In no other way can you gain more happiness and store up greater rewards of eternal joy in the mansions of your heavenly parents. The Son of God has declared, "Remember, the worth of souls is great in the sight of God." For, behold, the Lord your Redeemer suffered death in the flesh, wherefore he suffered the pain of all men, that all men might repent and come unto him, and he hath risen again from the dead, that he might bring all men unto him, on conditions of repentance. And how great is his joy in the soul that repenteth! Wherefore, you are called to cry repentance unto this people, and if it so be that you should labor all your days in crying repentance unto this people, and bring, save it be one soul unto me, how great shall be your joy with him in the kingdom of my Father. And now, if your joy will be great with one soul that you have brought unto me into the kingdom of my Father, how great will be your joy if you should bring many souls unto me. Remember, missionary work is not the work of any man, it is God's work, and we have been given the opportunity to help him accomplish his holy purposes. He is directing the missionary work of the Church of Jesus Christ today through his prophet, President George Albert Smith, even as he has done whenever his church has been on the earth. Thus missionaries are being sent into the world in increasing numbers. Last month 150 of them were sent to various parts of the earth to carry good tidings to the honest in heart. I humbly pray that God will touch the hearts of all Latter-day Saints, that we may unite our efforts and means for the purpose of preaching the gospel to the entire world. The gospel must be preached, and it is our responsibility. I bear testimony that God lives and that Joseph Smith was the instrumentality in his hands in establishing the true church on earth again. May God bless us in our efforts to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, that we might be found blameless at the great judgment day. I humbly pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, Amen.